Focus on Business would like to thank our underwriter, Close HR Connections. Ann Close of Close HR Connections has been on the show, and she is a great supporter of WCOM-FM and Focus on Business. Visit their website, closehrconnections.com. Focus on Business is underwritten by Focus Resources. Their website is focusresourcesinc.com. That's focusresourcesinc.com. Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland.
This is part two in the series on funding your small business. Remember, the National Business Association's 2016 Mid-Year Economic Report stated that 41% of businesses say they lack the capital to grow. 88% of businesses, according to Pepperdine University, want to grow, and 50% of them say that having access to capital is necessary for that growth. What happens to a business when it can't grow, when it doesn't have access to capital and costs are rising? Well, 20% say, according to the National Small Business Association, that they have to reduce the workforce as a result of not having access to capital. And that's kind of where we are as small businesses. We either grow and thrive, or we struggle to stay at the level we are at. What is it we're going to do? How are we going to grow our businesses? What's important to us as a business and our teams, our people, keeping them employed, being able to employ more people and grow inside the economy? And on the previous show, we talked about the different types of capital that we can use to grow our business. And those types of capital include your own private capital. That's your savings account, your credit cards, all of those kind of things, that personal assets that you're using to start and grow the business. That also can include your business profits. If you're not taking them out of the business for your personal use, then you're going to plow them back into your business to grow. Another important source of funding for businesses are bank loans, corporate credit cards, often personally guaranteed, vendor credit. And then some businesses just can't get financing at that level. There's also leasing of equipment, leasing of spaces, leasing of other items that your business needs, including employees. SBA loans, regional loan programs, non-bank lenders, factoring your receivables. And then we get into ownership and debt type of funding sources like angel investors, venture capitalists, private placement of debt and equity, public equity sales, and crowdfunding, something that's new on the stage, whether that's donation or gift type crowdfunding, whether it's reward-based crowdfunding, or if it's regulated crowdfunding like equity, debt, revenue, or royalty crowdfunding. That's what's available to us to grow our business if we do the work. If we can make the case for other people to invest their money in our businesses. Now, each source of capital has a different impact on the business. And so I want to cover some of those impacts today because we have to understand what happens to our business when we take certain types of capital. And I think traditionally we know with bank loans and other type of loans, what the impact is on the business is we don't surrender ownership, but we have a commitment. A weekly, a biweekly, a monthly payment that's going to be due to the lender that includes the principal and interest on that principal. So we're changing the timing of flows into our business, and we're committing to saying we will have the cash to make that required payment when it's due, forever how long we have that commitment, whether it's a year, whether it's 3 years, 5 years, 20 years, whatever that loan, we're making a commitment to pay. Now, when it comes to other types of capital, when it comes to angel investors, to venture capital, to types of private equity, to royalty and revenue-based equity-based types of funding, then we are looking at sharing in the success of the business. Now, with the exception of royalty or revenue-based crowdfunding, all the others mean we have to give up some portion of ownership or control of our business. So if we take on angel investors, if we take on venture capitalists, if we go for private equity, if we get community development venture capital, if we take on EB-5 investors that we covered in the previous podcast, then we're talking about surrendering part of the ownership. And that means there's some kind of long-term, ongoing relationship and commitment that we're going to make to these new investors. Now, when we look at other types of funding, such as debt-based or SBIR, STTR, PRIs, those types of funding, we're not giving up ownership. It's similar to having a loan. We're making that commitment. We're making that payment. We're making that payment over time. Part of the principal and interest are earning on that loan commitment. We're not giving up any portion of ownership, and so that can be a benefit to us. The drawback, though, is that constant need to make that payment. Every time you make the payment, you're saying, yes, I've used the funds properly. But the problem with that is we have to make the payment whether we use the funds properly and it worked, or we use the funds properly and we didn't get the result we expected. So whether we're profitable, whether we have adequate cash flows flowing in from what we used to grow, or whether we're off on the timing of those, we still have to make that payment. And that can frequently be challenging for businesses who don't have predictable cash flows. And so the difference between an equity-based ownership control surrender type relationship and the debt type relationship is, with equity, we don't have to make that payment if it's not working. With debt, we do. And so we need to think about that. We also need to understand how high the cost or how low the cost is for each type of funding source. Traditionally, high cost of capital is thought of as angel investors, venture capitalists, private equity, and the community development venture capital, and also royalty or revenue-based crowdfunding, equity-based crowdfunding can be viewed as expensive funding. Why? Well, it's the cost of raising it. It's the cost of surrendering some control of your business. It's the cost of the complexity of adding new people into that ownership and decision-making of the business. There are a lot of factors that come into that high cost of capital. On the flip side, there are some of these sources that were considered what are low cost of capital. Those are things like SBIRs, STTRs, PRIs, and some community development venture capital could be viewed as low cost. And why? Because it doesn't have to be repaid for SBIRs, STTRs. Those are non-dilutive funds that come into the business that are on a proposal basis, and that gives the business funding that's not concerning equity. It doesn't have a commitment of every month to repay those funds that are flowing in, but there is a cost, and that cost is compliance. That cost is having to do your accounting a little bit differently. The cost is understanding intellectual property ownership and the impact of that. There are a lot of things that come in to play with the cost of capital. And so we also need to think about who truly has access to these types of capital. So, and where are those access points? So let's think of it if you're a local restaurant and you want to fund a second or third location. What's your most accessible point of contact? Accessible sources of funds? Well, that would most likely be your vendors or your customers. And so with new types of funding, such as crowdfunding, we're able to tap into those as a restaurant. A mom-and-pop store on Main Street could go to their existing customer base and say, hey, invest in me. Or let me repay you through equity. Let me get a debt note from you. Or let me repay you through the revenues that come through expanding into this new location. So each business needs to understand the impact on ownership, the impact on cash flows, the high cost or low cost of the type of capital, and whether that capital is truly accessible in that category. And so when we look at angel investors, when we look at venture capitalists, when we look at private equity sources and government programs like SBIRs and STTRs and crowdfunding, we have to be realistic in assessing, are we the type of business those investors, those programs, those campaigns we want to address as part of today's program. So why would someone invest in your business? Why would they lend money? What are lenders and investors looking for And is it the same for lenders as it is for investors? When we look at the different types of lenders and the different types of investors, it comes to how they value your business. Whether that's an equity investor or a debt lender, they have to see value in what it is you do, in your customer base, and in the market opportunity that you can pursue. They're concerned about your capability. They're concerned about the viability of that market opportunity that you're looking at. Are you capable of pursuing it? Do you have the capacity? Can you compete and win the customer facing other alternatives? What are those alternatives? What is going to be your method of reaching the customer, making your pitch, getting them to buy? How often will they buy? How much will they buy? All of those kind of questions are what you have to answer to make the case to investors or to lenders or to the crowd when you're out there trying to run a crowdfunding campaign. So when we are going for funding, when we are looking at the options, we need to understand what those options are for our business's stage, our type of products, the market opportunity that we're intending to pursue, and the structure and the credibility and visibility of our businesses. And by credibility and visibility, I mean, can we demonstrate what we're capable of? What have we done in the past? What do our financials look like for the past 3 to 5 years? Are we growing? Have we been doing the right things? Are we profitable? Do we have cash flow coming in? Is our forecast for the future built on more of the same or something different? Are we doing more of what we've been doing for the past 3 to 5 years? Are we entering a new market? Are we starting a new location? What are the sources of our capital now? What are our results? And how will we be using them? How do we intend to grow? And we have to make the case for our business opportunity and our capability, our credibility to go after it and say, our team, yes, the team can succeed. We have a track record of success. And that comes down to how we present our financial information, what financial information we present, the how much, the when, the where, the how, the what, the who, and all of those questions that we have to answer for potential lenders and investors. On previous shows, we've talked with banker Scott Mackey and others to talk about what bankers need, what they expect. And it really comes down to the business case that you can make. It comes down to your presentation of your business as experienced, as capable, as understanding the market, of your business savvy, of your team's capabilities to do what you're promising and to get the results that are intended when you're going to use the funds that this lender or this investor is going to give you. So how do you make that case? Well, it begins with putting together the story of your business. It tells them who you are, what you've done, what your team is capable of doing. You make the case for why they should trust you with other people's money. And that case says, this is the business. This is our executive summary. This is where we've been and this is where we're going. This is how much we're asking for. This is what we're offering in exchange for what we're asking for. If you're an investor and you're going to go for an equity stake in our business is valued at this amount based on these factors. And this is a good time to make a point about value. It's not what you wish it is. It's not what you think it is. It's not some mythical number. We're not looking for unicorns. When you hear horses' hooves running, you think horses and zebras, not unicorns. What you want to do in presenting the value of your business is base it on something objective. What have your sales been? What have your profits been? What are your results? And here comes the challenge. If you're an early stage or a brand new business, and you've never sold anything, how do you value your business? And we'll cover that more in another program. But I want you to be thinking about that because the value of your business, what you're offering, can't be pie in the sky. It needs to be money in the bank for a potential investor or lender. And making the case for a startup or an early stage business with no revenues and no profits takes a different approach than if you're an established business with a history and a track record of growth and success. So, for today's show, I want to focus on established businesses that have been in business at least 3 years and preferably 5 to 7 years or more, because we have the best case that we can build financially and for a current value of the business under those conditions. And you can talk about your team, about their track record. You can point to your financial results. But what if your financial results haven't been the best? What if your business has been struggling for the past few years to stay profitable? What if you haven't been able to demonstrate growth? Can you show that it's a lack of access to capital, adequate capital, to take advantage of market opportunities that's been holding you back? Or can you point to something else? If your past success or lack of success is not your future, then you'll have to make a case for that too. Often when we're going to investors and lenders, we have to think of presenting the case about this simply being a change in the timing of cash flows into the business. And we want the investor or lender to put those cash flows in now because future cash flows will be more than adequate to repay the value of the investment now, of the loan now. So how do we make that case? My banker friends, my angel investor friends, my venture capitalist friends, they tell me first, you have to demonstrate that you understand valuation, that you understand what the exchange is going to be about. What are you offering and why that valuation? Then you have to persuade them that you know your numbers, you know your business, you know your market, you know the competition, and you know the steps you're going to take when you use these funds to generate success. And success is defined as an increase in the valuation of the business, any profits and cash flows flowing from improved and growing business, and the case for when they're going to get their money back, their return on investment. That horizon for a lot of investors is shorter than a lot of businesses realize. Some investors want their money back and the return on investment in 3 to 5 years. Others might wait 10 years. It depends on your business and who's investing on your business. What is the average length of return for the type of business that you're in, the stage, the industry, the type of products and services, the technology? And that brings another point that they want to know. What is your competitive advantage? If you're a restaurant, your competitive advantage may be special recipes. It may be the secret sauce of your service. It may be a combination. You may have a lot of fans in your customer base, and that may be a combination that someone's willing to invest in if they know you. An angel investor looking for a technology play probably isn't your potential funding source. And so we have to understand when we're going to the marketplace, what type of angel, shark or dragon, are we looking for? I've been working on a book called Shark Bait for some time now, and I'm always too busy to make it through, but we've been working on the different types of sharks there. Are we going for the big white? Are we going for a nurse shark? Are we going for an angel shark? Are we going for a whale shark? And they all have different personalities. And it's important to understand those different personalities when you're pursuing funding. So if you've ever watched Shark Tank, which is an ABC show, or it's replayed, I think, on CNBC and some other stations, then you will get a feel for how it is to approach a shark or an angel investor for their money to be invested in your business. They will feed on you and smell blood in the water, and you'll become chum if you don't know your information, if you don't know your business, if you can't make a case for investment. I like watching the show Dragon's Den. It predated our Shark Tank here in the States. And you can see the Canadian approach, or you can see the British show. And it's important to contrast those investors with those on our Shark Tank here in the States. because there's very different subtle behaviors and preferences for what the information is, for when they might be passionate about a cause and be willing to do more or invest more in return for less. But those occasions are rare. Sharks and dragons, angels, venture capitalists all invest in people who know business. They invest in people that have great technology or good technology, but have great business savvy. So your team needs to persuade with results, with vision, with passion, with professionalism, with expertise in your business, in your products, in your services. That's what an investor looks for. That's what a banker looks for. That's what anyone who's going to trust their money in your hands to get a return is going to expect. So if your numbers aren't good, or you don't know what your numbers are, you need not apply. If you know your numbers and they're not great, well, it's time to start working on those numbers and improving them, refining them, making the case to understand why you know they aren't as great as they could have been. And you can explain it. Revenues were down and so were profits. Why? What were you lacking? What was the challenge? Did you need these funds? Did you hit that capacity threshold that made you inefficient? And now you're looking for funds to get over that inefficiency, to take that next step, to ramp up your operations. And operations. Investors like to know that you have capable operations, that you're doing all the things that you're supposed to be doing as a business. You can recruit and retain the right people. You can comply with the rules. You're paying your taxes. You're doing all the things that are going to make your operations part of the solution, part of your competitive advantage. But investors in particular look for something more than just your operations. Do you have a proprietary process? That's great. Do you have technology? Is it yours? Do you have a custom designed product? Is it patented? Have you somehow protected it? That's a competitive advantage investors can get behind, and lenders too. What does your business do to differentiate itself in the marketplace? How do you get that message out? Why do your customers buy from you, and why will more customers buy for you if I give you my money? That's the case you're building. That's what you have to know inside and out. What have you tried? What didn't work? Why didn't it work? What are you going to do differently? What have you done before that you're going to do more of because it worked fabulously? That's what a potential investor wants to know. It helps to write it down. It helps for everyone in the business to get on the same page. It helps to know what sources of funds and investments you've had before, and how is that going to impact the deal you could do with a potential investor? How does it impact ownership of intellectual property, if it does? What does your team do to succeed? How does your CFO help you get the right prices, negotiate the right deals, do the right things at the right time? Do you have future contracts? Do you have purchase orders from major vendors? Do you or suppliers, customers? What do you have written down that your potential investor can back you on? Are your sources of supplies, your vendors and your suppliers, in contractual relationships with you? Does that give you an advantage? Do your customers have deals pending with you? Are they signed? Are they inked? How big are they? How important are those customers? Make sure you understand the importance and the documentation, the contractual relationships that potential funders want to see. To persuade someone to give you their money, you have to have a competitive advantage. You have to have credibility. You have to have a story that sticks together that they can't pick apart. And you have to have something that the market wants. So when you're getting ready to make your pitch, when you're figuring out what your offer is, then you need to get on the same page with everyone in your business. All the owners have to agree what business you're in. What problem do you solve? What need do you fill? Where is your market? Where will the new customers come from? Will you be selling more to the same customers? Will you be selling to similar customers to those you already have? Will you be entering new channels, new markets, new geographic regions? Are you going to offer new products? What do you plan to do? If you can't articulate it, if you can't spell it out, if you can't measure it with numbers, if you don't have milestones and timelines, if you haven't thought about all that can go wrong, then you're not ready to raise funds. At a bank, a non-traditional lender, or an investor, or crowdfunding, if you can't answer the questions, then don't start the process. Well, start the process now. What does it take for you to articulate the business you're in, the problem you solve, to define your market, to look at your past success and see how it relates to the future, to articulate your competitive advantage, to make the story not a fairy tale, but a drama, an adventure, and one where you know you're going to be the hero to the investor or the lender because you're going to keep your promises. They won't have to ride to your rescue. You will be using the funds they provide. You will make things happen. That's what they're counting on. So, what's your starting point? Analyze your existing business. Dig into the financials. Dig into the results. Ask your customers why they buy from you. Define the customers that you have, and then define the ones you're going after. Where are they? How will you reach them? How will you make the case? How will you get them to buy from you? How much do they have to buy from you and when? Will they buy one time and it's a big amount, or will they buy several times and smaller amounts? It's important to be able to quantify, identify, and specify the customer and the market opportunity. How will external factors impact that? What happens if the economy goes bust? What happens if the economy goes boom? What are the impacts of external factors? Will you be competing for scarce resources, for skilled labor? Where will you find those two things that you need, labor and supplies? What type of equipment do you need? What's the investment going to entail? How long does it take to get the equipment you need? How long will it take to bring on new people and get them up to speed so that they're producing results? What will be the impact on existing capacity as you're adding new capacity? The more you know, the more you can articulate, the more you think about what could go wrong and what has to happen when, the more that you can spell it out, break it down, tear it apart, build it back up, know it inside and out, the more likely you are to be successful in raising capital. Every investor, every lender has multiple opportunities to put their money somewhere or to simply put the money in the bank and sit on it. What makes them choose to put their money in a business rather than sit on it or give it to a different business? The case you build. The more robust your business plan, the more in-depth your knowledge of your numbers, the more you can talk about the future, what it entails, how you're going to do it, what they can bring to the table in addition to money, what resources you need, what commitments, how your current customers play into it, what market conditions will impact it. The more you can answer the questions, the more likely you are to raise capital. Whether that's a crowdfunding pitch on Kickstarter, whether it's a traditional private placement memorandum, whatever source you're going to go to, it's a bank loan, it's an SBA loan, whatever the source of capital you're seeking, the better the case, the more work you do before you ever knock on anyone's door, the more likely you are to raise the capital. Here's a critical question that many businesses forget to answer or even to ask themselves when they're going through this process. What happens if I can't get all the money I want? Is it all or nothing? Or is there a midpoint? A point where if I raise 50% of the capital, I can do X, but if I raise all of it, I'll do Y. What are those alternatives? Do you have a plan? And what happens to the business if you don't raise capital? Do your doors close? Or do you simply go on doing things at the level you're doing? Is this capital for new employees to pay existing employees? How much debt do you currently have? How many investors? What kind of commitments have you made to them? Answer the questions you would be asking. Answer the questions that you pray no one asks you. Even if they don't come up, having the answer ready will make you much more confident in your pitch, in your placement, in your presentation. And speaking of presentations, there's a reason public speaking is one of people's number one fears. They fear public speaking more than they do death. And so you need to practice, you need to rehearse, you need to plan. But I'm not saying script and memorize. I'm saying learn it. Do the homework, spend the time, know it forwards and backwards. Do the important things. Know your numbers. Know your business. Know the competition. Know your value. Know your capability. Know your team. Find the right person to make the pitch and hone the offer. And think about the different offers you could possibly receive. Watch Shark Tank. Watch Dragon's Den. Watch The Prophet. Watch all of these reality-based shows about business and investors. And do your homework. Picture yourself standing in front of those sharks. Could you answer the questions they're asking? If the answer is no, do your homework again. Do more homework and prepare long before you need the funds. That's another thing. Don't ask for the funds too late. Don't be undercapitalized. Fundraising of any type takes time. It takes time to get an SBA loan approved or just a traditional bank loan. It takes time to find investors, to make the offer, to get a memorandum of understanding, to look at the term sheet, to actually get the funds. It takes time. So if you're going to need capital in 2017 or 2018 or 2019, the time is now to start figuring out the answers to the questions and the sources of capital that you can pursue. It's important, it's critical to take the time, to make the time. Fundraising for businesses is usually a full-time job for someone in the organization. You have to establish relationships, you have to go through processes, you have to know when you can make a pitch, what's required of the pitch. How many times will you have to meet with someone? Do you need to travel? Do you need to refine the pitch? Is there a requirement for PowerPoint presentation? 10-slide limit. You have 10 minutes. Are you going to do competitions? What is it that you have a plan? What is your strategy? What is your funding strategy? How much, when, where, who, what, how? You have to be able to answer those questions. So let's go back to some of the statistics I quoted at the beginning of the show. 41% of small businesses say they lack the funding to grow their business. 20% say that when they can't get access to capital, they have to reduce their workforce. 88% of all businesses want to grow. 50% of them have access to the capital to do so. Are you a coin flip? Are your chances 50-50 about having access to grow? No. The more work you do, the more detailed you get, the more networking you do, the more homework you do now, before you need funding, the more your chances increase, the greater your chances become to have access to capital. Yes, it's about the type of business. It's about the stage of business. It's about your track record. It's about your history. It's about your capability. It's about your future. It's about doing the work to make the case, to tell a compelling story that make people want to invest in you and your future. It's about spelling it out. It's about winning them over. It's about having a compelling case. For why you? Why you, one of 88% of the businesses that want to grow? Why you, 41% who say, if I don't have access to capital, I can't grow? It's about you not wanting to lay off employees. It's about you not wanting to tread water. It's about you wanting to team and what you're capable of doing. It's all about you. It really is. And you want them to like you. You want them to be passionate about your story. You want them to like your product. But you also want them to realize that you're credible when you're talking about it. You can't simply like and be passionate about your product, although that's a good start. You have to have facts and figures to back up why the market, why your potential customer will like it. It's great if your family thinks it's great. But if they're not your customers, if they're not your prospect, if they don't fit the profile, that's just moral support. Those are cheerleaders. And cheerleaders are great for every business, for every inventor. But the reality is, cheerleaders are not the customer for 99% of the businesses. So you have to have evidence. You have to have credibility. You have to have market information from your existing customer base, from something that makes the case, that provides evidence that the answer is in the room. So what do I mean about that? I like listening to a podcast on Christian apologetics called Cold Case Christianity. He's a cold case detective in his day job. And they have an approach as cold case detectives, I guess of any detective doing police work, that if you can solve the problem within the room, then you don't have to look anywhere else for information. And I'm going to apply that here. If you can make the case, if you can put all the information inside the room when you're making a pitch to a potential investor, a potential funder, if you can put all the information they need in your pitch, in your documents, in your pitch deck, in your video, in whatever communication medium you're using to reach out to potential investors, to potential funding sources, if you can contain within the information, in the room, if you can make the case, then you're doing well. You have to give them the evidence. Don't make them go looking for the clues. Spell it out. What if you were on trial? Could you make the case for conviction? That's what you want. You want to convict them. You want to convict them, and you want the jury to be on your side, and you want them to say, yes, I believe in your case. Yes, I vote for you. Yes, we're convicted. Why do we want to be convicted? Because we're making a case that we have the evidence, and we're presenting it to them. The investor is the juror. You want to make the case for them. You want the verdict to be guilty. And in this case, guilty is good. It means you've done everything possible. You've persuaded them. There's no hung jury. There's no doubts. There's no ifs. There's no buts. They are reasonably sure you can do. Evidence that I want to give you my money. I have many customers, many clients come through the business, and they think, I'm passionate about it. Everybody else should be passionate about it. I think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Build it and they will come. No. Every person, every customer, every potential investor, every person that could be potentially in your crowd has alternatives. They have thousands of things competing for their attention and their money. If you can't convince them, if you can't persuade them, if you can't make the case that they say yes, then your business will not grow because you will not get the capital that is needed. So make the case. Stand in the room and bring all the evidence with you. Know your numbers, know your results, know where you're going, know how you'll use the funds, know how you'll compete, know what your competitive advantage is, know why your product, not someone else's. Have the evidence from the customer, from the potential customer, signed contracts to support your sales estimates, signed relationship documents on suppliers, know how much it costs to produce whatever it is you're producing, know the ins and outs, know the ups and downs, know the challenges, know the risks, know the rewards, know your strengths and know your weaknesses, know the opportunities and know the threats. Sharks smell blood in the water. Don't be the chum, be the bait. Get them on the hook, reel them in. Get them on your side, let them be your shark. Let them provide the funds. Let them be part of your success. And here's something else that many businesses forget. You can say no to the deal. There are times when the cost of the capital, when the strings that are going to come attached to the funds that are being presented are wrong for your business. So be prepared to say no to too costly capital, to potential investors that will torpedo your business, to sharks that will end up owning your business and kicking you out the door. I had a professor in undergrad who told the story of starting with this small business, and they were growing, and he was the president of the business. And over time, different things happened, and they would get more and more shares of the business. And the other investors weren't really paying attention. They wanted X, and so he says, well, for 10%, I'll do that over on top, or don't pay me and just give me ownership. And gradually, over time, he became the majority owner of the business. And that was still a good thing for those investors, those original owners, because he grew that business to be highly successful. But he could just have easily sold that business out from under them once he had controlling interest. So understand who you're doing business with, their modus operandi. What type of shark are you swimming with? What's their history? What's their success rate? What happens if things don't go exactly as planned? Will they pull the plug? It's hard to say. I've known many angel investors that invested in a lot of businesses, and when things started struggling, it wasn't on their timeline, it wasn't worth their effort, and they forced those businesses to close. And that's something you don't want happening to your business. So again, do your homework. Know about the shark. Know about the dragon. Learn out the ins and outs of the deals they do. Talk to people, companies they've invested with, people they do business with. Do your homework. Again, to go back to that analogy of a court case, of a cold case that we're out there trying to investigate, we want to make the case, but we want to know who all the players are. We want to know our suspects and who we're pursuing. Be the detective. Do your homework. Read the articles. Do as much due diligence as you can before you approach an investor. Know your sources and uses of capital. Be one of the 50% of businesses that have access to capital. Be among the business. Be financially successful. Whether that's opening your next location for a restaurant, using crowdfunding with your customers, or it's going to a bank and making a case for a loan, or working capital for your business. Whatever it is about your business that you need to take the next step, now is the time to start doing your homework. Now is the time to gather the evidence, to document everything, to talk to your customers, to analyze the market, to do what it takes to grow your business. Look at the success stories if you're going to do crowdfunding, and also look at the failures on the crowdfunding sites. Understand the terms and conditions if you have crowdfunding, especially regulated crowdfunding. What's an SBA loan? What does it take? How long does it take? What does it entail? What about other non-traditional sources of funding? Are SBIRs or STTRs something that your business could pursue? If you're an innovation technology company, probably. If you're a mom and pop restaurant, no. Understand what gives you an advantage and what businesses are going to look for from you. Secure your vendors, secure your suppliers, have the answers to where your risks lie. And go for those opportunities in depth, drill down. If not this group, what about this group? Are we going to similar customers? Are we doing adjacent customers? Understand marketing, understand business development, understand your channels and your challenges, and make the case for your business to be funded. Dig in to the information on what an angel is and how they work. Look at non-traditional lending and make sure you understand how the terms and conditions. Understand what your ideal growth rate is, and maybe your business can fund its own growth, or maybe you only need working capital. Is debt right for you, or do you want to go with equity? Or perhaps you want to go for royalty or revenue-based crowdfunding. Whatever your business is, it's unique. It's not like any other business. Oh, you may be a restaurant, and there are lots of restaurants, but your business is about you. It's about the people who currently own it and work there. It's about your team and what it's capable of doing. Two different teams can be going after the same concept. They could open restaurants side by side. One will succeed and one will fail. It's a matter of what the team is willing to do and how hard they're willing to work and how much homework they're willing to do. You see, people invest in other people. Businesses are people. They reflect the personality, the integrity, the characteristics of the people who own them and run them. And you want to be a business that people want to do business with. You want to be successful. You want to be capable, credible, visible, and viable. And that will make the case for someone to invest in your business. Whether you're going to plow your profits back into your business, you're going to go for bank loans, you're going to use credit cards, you're going to ask your vendors to support you, you're going to turn to your customers as your crowd to invest in your business, whatever way you intend to get the funds, make the case. Provide evidence, document it, walk through it, and then make a succinct, concise, precise, well-honed pitch to your potential investors. You might get a lot of no's, and then you take those no's and you ask why it was no, and you learn from it. You hone your pitch a little bit more, you revise it, and you hone your target investor a little bit more. If the banker says no, then look to the crowd. If the crowd says no, then look to your friends and your family. Maybe an SBA loan, maybe a non-bank lending. Know the costs, know the sources, know the alternatives. And no gives you information. And you may just find that no is the ultimate answer. You don't want to grow it. You can't grow. No may just be not now. And if not now, when? When you get the homework done, when market conditions change, when you found a competitive advantage, when you found the right crowd. When is now. Success starts this moment, making the case, doing your homework, finding the answers, finding the reasons, providing the evidence. Work the business now, make it as strong as it can be, and build from this business. Make the case for success and run this business as the best of your ability and grow it strong, because an established foundation, a strong foundation, makes the best place for growth to start. So, I have a white paper on my website, focusresourcesinc.com, on funding your small business. You can check it out. We go into the descriptions of each type of capital, talking about the pros and the cons, the sources, the challenges. And there's webinars and workshops available on many of the types. That on upcoming shows, we're going to be talking about crowdfunding and the different types, royalty and revenue-based. We're going to talk about debt-based. We're going to talk about donation-based, the regulated types and the non-regulated types. We're going to talk about the principles of fundraising. We're going to pick up the pace. We're going to talk about intrastate crowdfunding here in North Carolina. We're going to talk about the challenges and the opportunities it presents. We're going to talk about crowdfunding at the interstate level and how regulated crowdfunding can be a great source of funding for certain businesses, but it also takes work. We're going to talk about the lessons learned in various Kickstarter and other campaigns and crowdfunding, and we're going to talk about SBA loans, SBR and STTR programs, venture capital. We'll talk more about sharks and angels, and we're going to help you take it step by step of the five parts of creating your capital campaign on how to fund your small business. We're going to talk about planning and pre-launch before the campaign. We're going to talk about finding your audience. We're going to talk about the campaigns and the offers themselves, the homework you have to do, the regulations you have to follow for certain types of campaigns, about finding the opportunities for grants and loans. We're going to talk about the nitty-gritty details of how doing your homework can make your campaign successful. We're going to talk about executing it and making things keep momentum going and making them successful. And then we're going to talk about after the deals. How do you structure them? How do you get the signature? How do you go through due diligence? What does it impact your business? We're going to walk you through this over the next 3 or 4 months. We're going to be walking you through with experts on the legal aspects of raising funding and the different types of funding, especially crowdfunding. December is going to be our crowdfunding month. We're going to talk about banking and lending. We're going to talk about legal. We're going to talk about accounting and tax. We're going to talk about all the elements that help you make the case for someone to fund your business. And so join me on the future shows. And this is Focus on Business. And I'm your host, Lee Strickland. Until next time, everyone, stay focused on the important things.
Focus on Business would like to thank our underwriter, Close HR Connections. Ann Close of Close HR Connections has been on the show, and she is a great supporter of WCOM-FM and Focus on Business. Visit their website, closehrconnections.com. Focus on Business is underwritten by Focus Resources. Their website is focusresourcesinc.com. That's focusresourcesinc.com. If you would like to become an underwriter for Focus on Business or any of the WCOM FM LP 103.5 programs or the station, visit the WCOMFM.org website for information on underwriting shows, becoming an individual sponsor, becoming a Golden Voice sponsor, or how to volunteer with the station. That's WCOMFM.org. We're on the air because you care and you underwrite our programs.